Last week we talked about shame and guilt and how God doesn't give us a spirit of shame and guilt, right? Sin comes and then shame and guilt comes. They're twins. They started from the very beginning, the Garden of Eden. You got sin and guilt, and then right after that, the next chapter came murder when Cain killed Abel, right? So that's how quick it happens, man. Just sin will just take you off to a deep end. And we talked about how we got to be careful and not allow. And once you ask God to forgive you, we said if after you ask God to forgive you, then if you still are having shame, that's not from God. That's straight from hell. Because once you ask God to forgive you, He forgives you. And the enemy will take that shame and try to still bring it on you. And sometimes we feel ashamed of ourselves. But if God forgives us, the creator of the universe, the one who decides where our internal destination is, and He says, okay, I've forgiven you. My blood was enough for you, then we cannot decide on our own that it wasn't good enough for us and we still should feel shameful. So today, I want to talk about the mind again, but I want to start it off with, you can't sit here. You remember in high school when you were sitting there with your best, you're saving a seat for your best friend at lunch, at the lunch table, and other people want to come sit down, and you're like, you can't sit here, just my best friend. You can't sit here, this is our table. Remember that? I mean, I'm new. You save seats for friends and stuff. You can't sit here. You know. Matter of fact, I started to title this message "No Seat for You" instead of "No Soup for You." You remember that? I started to say no. I said no. Some of the guys, some of them are young. They wouldn't remember that. But I want to say you can't sit here. Why do I say that? Because Psalms 23 and 5. I'm gonna go ahead and get to the root. I'm gonna even give you some spoilers at the very beginning. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. He prepares a feast for us in the middle of our enemies. He prepares a big spread of blessings for us. And He says, here it is. I got a seat. I want you to sit right there. And it's all yours. Now, here's the thing. That table is not ours. It's God's, but it's for us. But the enemy, he says, right in the presence of your enemies. Now, what he means by that is he is going to allow you to be blessed and those who hate you to have to stand by and watch you be blessed. There's all kinds of people that are against you, that hate you, your enemies. And God said, you know what? I'm going to bless you. You've come to me. Your enemies are against you. Your enemies are against me. And I'm going to have a table spread for you. And they're going to have to sit around and watch you get blessed. I tell you what, that's just wonderful right there. Praise God. Now, the other enemy that tries to come is Satan. Okay? Because whenever you ask your enemy to sit down, somebody that hates you, they're haters, and you ask them to sit at the table, all they're going to do is jeer at you, put you down, punch you, hit your soft spots, and just try to take it and mess the table up, right? But when Satan comes and we ask him to sit down, God's like, okay, I'm out of here. I'm not going to sit at the same table with this guy. You can't have salt water and fresh water coming from the same stream. I prepared this table for you, not for him. And if you choose to take this table out of my hands and take authority of this table and make it yours, and you can invite him if you want to, but I'm out. Okay? He's not going to sit at that table and continue to bless you while you invite the enemy in to sit and join in on the meal. Okay? I may do a 2 or 3 week small group on a Sunday night or something, or another night, Friday night, who knows. Louis Giglio has a whole message, and part of this is based on it. It's just lightly based on it, but it's called don't let the enemy sit at your table, and it's a video. He talks for about 20 minutes, and you have a discussion for 20 minutes, and he show another video, and then another discussion. We do that for 2 weeks, and it's pretty powerful. But I was thinking about this: if I do something like that, it's really quick. It's only about y'all only be here about an hour or so each week, probably for 2 weeks maybe. If I do that, is anybody interested in okay, yeah. It's wonderful. It's so powerful. Okay, but what I don't want to talk necessarily about where he's going at with the I want to talk about the mind, that our mind is where the enemy tries to come and sit at the table of blessing. Because your heart, God has prepared your heart and your spirit. Your heart and spirit is prepared and willing to receive Christ. But where does the enemy come when he comes? He comes in your mind. He tries to sit on the table in your mind and to destroy you. He tries his very best to come in and put thoughts in your mind and destroy you and put you down and claw at your mind. You're a king's kid. You're saved, so you can't be possessed. But the enemy can, you certainly can have tormenting spirits that'll come at you and just claw at your mind and try his very best, excuse me, to get the throne. Now, as a parent, you know, we have this little special thing that when we, instead of telling our children no, we say maybe. Okay? Maybe is a delayed no, is what it really is. Because if I tell you no now, you're going to act a fool right up here at Walmart, right up here a fool in front of my best friends, or right up wherever you're at, you're going to act a fool. So I got to tell you maybe to give you some hope. And then I'll tell you no later. That's what that's all about. Okay? So the thing is that if not, that child will not get that little G.I. Joe off their mind, that little Barbie, whatever it may be that they want. They're in that store, and I want it. They have it on their mind, and it will not get off their mind until you at least say maybe, okay? And then, because I tell y'all all the time, and if you're new here, I say this so many times. It's something my spiritual mother, Jeannie Mayo, told me, and it's one of my greatest thought processes is that what you focus on, you fuel. So if you're mad at somebody and you focus on being mad, you're going to fuel that anger. If you're joyful about something and you're focusing on God, you're going to fuel that. And that's why people walk around broke, busted, and disgusted and poor, pitiful me, because they love to focus on the wrong thing. If they would just change their focus, then they would be okay. And they would be more joyful. But they're so focused on the bad, the wrong, the lack, the hurt, the pain, and they're focusing on that, and it just fuels that. So when someone's mad at you, you're thinking about that. That's all you think about. If you're mad at somebody, or if you're madly in love with somebody, then that's all you think about. That's all you think about is him or her or whatever. You know, maybe you're stuck with a bad attitude or something. And something's made you mad and it's made you a bad attitude. Until you change that attitude and say, you know what? I'm not going to feel this way no more. I'm going to have the mind of Christ. I'm not going to have the mind of the enemy. I'm not going to let the enemy sit at the table of my mind and sit there at the head of the table, right? And like Roman Reigns, at the head of the table. You know, you need to say, you know what? You're not going to sit at the head of the table. You're not going to sit at my table at all. You're not going to be in my mind. Because an idle mind is the devil's playground. And he loves to rule and to reign in your mind. You know, maybe you're burdened down with a faulty concept of who you are. And maybe you feel like you need to break free from the gripping temptation of something. You know, God wants you, and he's for you. It's difficult sometimes to change direction, but we have to do so. The enemy of the mind is something sometimes that you just can't get out unless you really focus hard on it. Because why are my thoughts so important? Because thoughts become attitudes. When you start thinking about something, all of a sudden you have an attitude about what you just thought about. And then the attitude, you've heard this before, attitudes become actions. After I got a bad attitude about it, I'm going to act on that attitude. And then actions or behaviors, however you want to look at it. So thoughts become attitudes or behaviors, and then attitudes or behaviors become actions, and then actions create outcomes. Okay? And then you're in a whole mess. The battle for your life, the battle for your soul is fought in your mind. If you're going to come to Christ, you're going to have to come to Christ by in your mind realizing, I'm a sinner, I need Jesus. Like I said, your heart is not going to act without your mind. Your mind is going to tell your heart what to do, your spirit what to do. And you have to think about things, and you have to say, you know what? I'm not going to allow this to happen. I'm going to walk in the mind of Christ. Because today's society is full of negativity and poison and disrespect everywhere you turn. And if you're not careful, it will get in you. And the enemy's trying to gain access to your thought life. And if you pay too much attention to the world, politics, and all this other junk and all the stuff that's going on, it will destroy your mind. You will get so focused on it. But one of the greatest things that I've done I don't have a Sirius radio, because I used to turn it on to the news and listen to it all day long. And then I go home at nighttime, and before I went to bed, I would turn on the news and watch some of that. And I don't have that. Now I pretty much just listen to worship. And when I get home, I might watch the first 15 minutes to see if there's anything real important. Then I just cut it off. And I tell you what, it has helped free my mind, because I had to fight a lot of times because the politics made me so mad. The way people, the way the wokeism has come and the way all this stuff happened, I was like, you know what, God, I got to renew my mind. I've got to think on things that are pure. Matter of fact, Philippians 4:8 says that. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, Paul said. In other words, I'm getting ready to go, but I got to tell you this really important point. He says, fix your thoughts on what is pure, on true, honorable, right, and pure. What is true, honorable, right, and pure, and lovely, and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Philippians 4:8. That is so important for us to do on a daily basis. If you're going to renew your mind, that's what you got to do. You got to think about things that are true, that are holy, that are right and pure and lovely and admirable. That's how you change your mind, your mindset. If I had a cup of water when I was a youth pastor, I used to put a clear cup of water up here and have that much dirt in the bottom of it. And I'm like, that symbolizes your mind and the filth and the poison in your mind. And I could take water, a jug of water, and I would pour it in there, and then it would become what? Mud, right? Then your mind's muddy. But if you keep pouring and keep pouring, it's going to get into the sediments all of a sudden, and all of a sudden the whole glass is going to start getting kind of light mud. And then you keep pouring and keep pouring, and then that mud is going to start coming out, that dirt's going to start coming out. And the more you force water in there, eventually it will force all that dirt out, and then you have a clean glass of water. And that's what we got to do with our mind. Our mind is full of hurt, pain, guilt, shame, and all these things and evil. And we got to get in our mind and start pouring the water of the word in there and start allowing prayer and worship and allow God to minister to us and get all that junk out. Because I don't care how holy you are. You don't take one moment and something bad can happen to you or to your family, and all of a sudden, man, you could turn to 360. Well, 180. Right? I didn't do good in math, you know. So 180. And so the thing is, man, you got to know, man, you can't allow that. You can be walking holy one day, and something happened to one of your children, or someone bullies your child, or someone does something wrong to your spouse, or someone does something to your family, and then all of a sudden, what? You know. And we got to handle business sometimes. We got to take care of disrespect, right? But we can do it in a godly way, and we don't have to let it get in our mind and say, you know what? You know, it's just now I'm going to let it just sit here. I used to tell teenagers when I was a youth pastor, I'd say, hey, listen, you know, you can't help a bird fly over your head, you know, and drop some poop or something on your head, but you can wash it out. You don't have to allow a bird to come sit on your head and lay an egg there and crack something, right? You know, you don't have to let them lay an egg and just nurture that egg and incubate that egg and let it turn into things. That same way in our mind, we can't help a thought comes. We can't help that a thought comes in your mind. But we don't have to allow that thought process to stay in our mind and incubate and dwell on it and let it hatch. We need to get rid of it. You need to say, I'm not going to allow this to happen. I'm not going to let this continue to bother me like this. I'm going to have the mind of Christ. God wants you to take control of your mind in Jesus' name through and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Your mind is your control center. It's your control center for everything. Why? Because, you know, my heart wants to worship. I want to worship. But if your mind is somewhere else, your heart can't worship. I want to go to church. But if your mind is somewhere else, you're not going to come to church. You know, if you are dealing with things in your life and you feel like everybody's against you, you know, then you're not going to be able to receive the love that people have for you. We've spent much of the last several weeks talking about the mind, you know, and today it's more, don't give the enemy a seat at the table in your mind. You cannot allow the enemy to come and just sit there and chill and have live rent free in your mind. You got to think about these things that are good and lovely and holy. But maybe you're not really quite convinced that you can actually accomplish that. You can. As long as you keep pouring water, you may be in a muddy stage. You may be in a sediment stage where it's just kind of murky and dark looking. But if you continue to pour the word of the Lord in there, and you continue to read your word and continue to pray, continue to worship, continue to be around good people, continue to come to church and fellowship and love other people, love your neighbor as yourself, then that's going to eventually come out, and all the junk in your mind is eventually going to be dispelled out. As a follower of Jesus, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to help you with this. You are more than a conqueror. Scripture says you are more, a conqueror conquers something. Scripture says you're more than a conqueror. That's like just like a cherry on top. You feel good about conquering something, but when it says you're more than a conqueror, you know? So that's amazing. 1 John 4:4 says, but you belong to God, dear children. You have already won a victory over these people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit that lives in the world. God is in you. Holy Spirit is in you. That spirit that's in you is greater than any spirit in this world. And we know that scripture calls Satan the god of this world. It's not talking about that he's the god of all this world. He's this talking about the world system, the world's ways, the airwaves. He's the god of this world. But the thing is that we have greater in us than in him. And sometimes you need to stand right in front of the mirror and remind yourself of that. We have to develop a mindset. There's a lot of different ways of, I even preach on faith affirmations. And there's a lot of times that we need to, you know, have those affirmations. And I believe in having scriptural affirmations and talking to yourself. Self-talk is so important. Self-talk is so powerful. And we need to do that. Okay? Now, there's two school of thoughts. And I think they're on opposite ends of the spectrum. I think there's a middle way. Number one is you give yourself all the grace you need. You speak affirmations every day. You stand in front of the mirror and you sing Bruno Mars. When I see your face, not a thing that I would change because you're amazing just the way you are. Right? And we're singing that to ourselves, right? God's like, you're not amazing right now. You got a lot of work to do. You know? You're amazing to me, but don't look in the mirror and think you're amazing because you're not, right? And then you got the David Groggins view. So you got this view over here. It's all just grace. It's all going to be okay. You just keep talking to yourself, right? And then you got the David Groggins. David Groggins is a U.S. Navy SEAL. I was in the Navy, but I was not a SEAL. Matter of fact, in boot camp, I had a heat stroke because it was hot outside. I'm still trying to get disability for them. I'm like, I need some disability. I had a heat stroke. I ain't never been the same since that day. Something fried my brain. I need some more money. Please send it to me. But David was an ultra marathon runner. He was an ultra distance runner. He was a distance cyclist. He was a triathlete and former world record holder for the most pull-ups done in 24 hours. This dude was a beast. He wrote a book called Can't Hurt Me, Master Your Mind and Defy the Odds. Wow. Throughout this book, he challenges readers to toughen up, to be around themselves, to beyond their personal capabilities. Push yourself to the limit. Be uncommon to uncommon people. He has this little thing he calls the accountability mirror. Now, you have looking in the mirror saying, you're amazing. And then over here you have Groggins that says, this is what he says in the book. If you're overweight, tell yourself you're fat. That's what it says. If you fail the test, tell yourself you're lazy and you didn't prepare. Hold yourself accountable. Stop avoiding the truth. Own it, change it, and do something different. I was like, oh, snap. And I'm not going to lie to you. I'm more David Groggins to myself than I am Bruno Mars. I'm really hard on myself. And I don't mind looking at myself and say, dude, you need to step it up. You know, I need that. I don't like that coach that pats me on the hind and says, go do a good job. I need that coach that spins me around and says, if you don't get out there and do your job, you're going to sit on the bench the rest of the year. Yes, sir. I'm going to go out there and perform. That's how I respond. I like that. I like that encouragement. If you say, hey, go do the best, I'm like, okay. I don't want to. Look what I can do, you know? So the thing is that we go through this process and we're trying so hard. And I think there's in between. Yes, I think we need to be harder on ourselves than we are. But also, we need to give ourselves grace. Some people are so hard on themselves, they have no grace. And God's like, I give you way more grace than that. You ain't got no grace for yourself. Lighten up on yourself. It's okay. You're going to make mistakes. But you know what? I'm your father. I'm going to help you. We're going to make it through this together. Okay? And so we got to acknowledge the truth and in the areas of our lives that need to change with the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need to develop a plan and take the courage and self-control to take those steps. Romans 8:6. I love how it says it in the New American Standard Bible. It says, "For the mind is set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace." When your mind is set on the flesh, it's death. But when it's set on the spirit, it's life and peace. Another translation says governed. When your mind is governed by the flesh or governed by the spirit. We have to have a new mindset. We have to understand that. We have to, winning the battle means replacing the old. You know, last week we talked about, you know, recording over the old cassette tapes, you know. So we need to replace our old life with our new life and start continuing. I have a message about reaping and sowing. And I say, well, if you're sowing good seeds and you're sowing a whole, but you want a bunch of sweet corn, but you're still getting, you know, hot peppers. Okay, well, if you continue to sow the sweet corn, eventually all the hot peppers will die out and you'll just have the sweet corn. But you can't plant sweet corn and sprinkle a couple hot peppers in there thinking that it's all going to be okay. You change your life. You got to change your life. You can't change your life and straddle the fence a little bit and think that you're not going to reap what you sow. When you sow bad seeds, you're going to get bad seeds come up, a bad crop. You can't, and it does not always happen right away. We do bad things and nothing happens right away, and we think, well, I got away with that. You never get away with it. Because later on, you know, they plant in the winter and it don't come up till the summer, right? So sometimes there's a process along there. We got to understand, God, I need the mind of Christ. I need to renew my mind. And I got to quit planting these bad seeds, and I got to keep planting these good seeds, and eventually I'll just have a great crop. But in the meantime, I still have a few of the bad seeds popping up, a few peppers, hot peppers. I'm just going to rip them up and throw them out and bring those thoughts captive. I'm not going to allow that to stay in my good crop. My encouragement to you is not try to do it all at the same time. Start small. Don't try to change everything in your mind. Just say, God, I'm just going to focus on trying to have the mind of Christ and start a little bit at a time. In Louis' book, he talks about a way to handle this, and he said if you get these promises and these truths and these scriptures, take one a day. In 7 days, you will be well on your way to renewing your mind. Number one, he says, I am in God's story. You have to know that you are in God's story. The story is way bigger than you. The story is all about God, but you are part of the movie. You are part of the story of Jesus. You are important. You are a star in the movie. Everybody that is redeemed, we are all stars. We're not co-stars. We're stars in that movie. God's got us as the main characters. And we got to understand we're part of this story. And it's about Him, but we have a seat at His table. It's not our table to give away. It's not our table to invite somebody else to, and our enemies to. We can invite other Christians, but not other enemies and have them sit down. Jeremiah 29:11 says, that for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for prosperity, not for disaster, to give you a hope and a future. You may not see that right now, but there are plans. There is a blueprint, and it's all good. And God wants you to continue to focus on Him and say, you know what? That's me. I know I have plans. I just got to keep planting good soil in good soil, keep planting good seed, and I know eventually it'll all happen because I'm part of the plan. You are part of the plan. Number two, you got to understand that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You are not an accident. You are not a burden to God. You are not a burden to Pastor Doug. You are not a burden to Kingdom Impact. You are special and you are cared for. God made you with intention. He formed you and He called you by name. Psalms 139:13-14 in the NIV says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. You got to believe who you are in Christ. One of the greatest things that I tell people all the time is you got to know who you are in Christ. And we got to tell our kids who they are in Christ. If we don't tell our kids, and the church don't tell our kids who they are in Christ, the world and the school system will definitely tell them who they are. And I say this all the time, but I want to keep saying it so you can get it. The thing is, whoever tells them first wins. Whoever tells them first wins. Because then the second person has to prove the first one wrong. So if you want your children, your family to know that who they are in Christ, you tell them before anybody else does. Because if I went and told you, hey, you know, if I said, hey, last night, you know, we got it all paid for, Jason. You know, and then I went over here and talked to Mike, and Mike went to Jason later on and said, hey, man, we didn't get it paid for last night at all. And let's say Mike was in charge of it. Jason would say, no, because somebody else just told me it was paid for. Why? Because whoever tells first, that's the truth. Anything that follows that has to prove that it's the truth. Does that make sense? I mean, that's a powerful word right there. Okay, number three, my life has purpose. Don't buy into the fact that you don't matter, that you're expendable, because you're not. We need you. God needs you. You are unique as your fingerprint. Everybody in the world has a different fingerprint. And you are very unique. Your life matters. Ephesians 2:10, my favorite scripture. It says in New Living Translation, "For we are God's masterpiece." Matter of fact, I got it right here tattooed. You are God's masterpiece. He has created you anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good work, good things that He has planned for us long ago. He's like, "I planned things a long time ago that are great for you, but you've got to follow the process. You are my masterpiece." In King James, it says you are His workmanship. If you look that word up in the Hebrew, it's talking about super creative artistic ability. He's saying, so in the Hebrew, it's really saying that you are magnificent. You are a masterpiece. You know, you have all these pictures in here. If you go to an artist's place, he'll say that, you know, that's a good picture right there. I did that when I was young, starting out being an artist over here. This right here is when my mom died. This picture over here, it was whenever my son was born. But this one right here, this was my masterpiece, right? So that means that's the most special to them. It don't make sense in our mind, but each and every one of us are God's masterpiece, because He created each and every individual one of us with super creativity and made each and every one of us super special. We don't understand that in our mind, because that can't happen with us. But in His mind, every single one of us are His masterpiece. Now, number four, there's only seven. The cross has a final word. It doesn't matter what anybody says about you. It doesn't matter if someone says you can't be forgiven. You'll never turn around. You're not good enough. The cross has a final word. With Jesus on the cross, and He said, "It is finished. It was done forever and eternity." It doesn't matter if someone tells you anything different, because that's all that matters. The fact that it is done, it is finished, and the cross matters. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs in Christ has become a new person. The old life has passed away. All things have begun or become new. And so your old life is gone. You got to forget about your old life. Quit going back and putting on your old grave clothes and saying, "You know what? I want to live in this a little while, because this really felt good in my flesh." Burn that mess. Burn all them old clothes, you know, spiritual clothes, and step into the greatness and goodness of God. Number five, I love this. I just love the statement. I serve at the pleasure of the King. I serve at the pleasure of the King. The work of Jesus transforms your work. You don't merely work at a job. You serve Jesus. You serve Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Why are you doing what you're doing? If somebody gives you glory, somebody tries to give you props, and tell you, "Hey, I just serve at the pleasure of the King. The King is blessed with me, and he asked me to serve, and I'm just serving at the pleasure of the King." It's all about Him. He asked me. It's not about me. I can't do nothing. The only reason I'm here is because I serve at the pleasure of the King. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of the darkness into the wonderful light. See, He called us out of darkness into the wonderful light. Then when we are in Christ, there is no darkness. Because when we go with the light, we light up all the darkness. We were called out of the darkness. And now we are the light. So go be the light. Just like the little kids, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Don't hide it under the bushel." No, we got to go into this world and allow God to let us go into dark places and light up the room. It's a great vision statement you can say is, "I am dispatched by the Holy Spirit on kingdom assignments to be light to the world of darkness so others can see Jesus." That's the whole reason. Now, when we are light, we don't light up a room so other people can see me. We don't light up a room so other people can be, you know, all about Pastor Doug. We light up a room so other people can see Jesus. If they don't see Jesus through Pastor Doug, then Pastor Doug is wasting his time. He's making it about himself. He's all about pride and envy and selfishness. And I get zero out of that. I want to point people to Christ. When people see me, I want them to see Christ. Number six, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Your God is stronger than anything. He is higher than anything and worthy of all praise. Our God is a great king, a mighty king, and his kingdom lasts forever. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Therefore, God elevated him, Christ, to a place of highest honor and gave him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue declare that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. I don't care how atheist, agnostic you are. One day, everybody will bow and say, you are Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess. I love just to say the word Jesus, because it says in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And under the earth. That means in hell. When I say Jesus, all demons got to get a little quiver. Jesus, that has a little shake. That name is so powerful when we speak it. Number 7, the last one. My God works all things out for the good. Life doesn't always work out as we hope, but it always works out as it should that God has. It makes God no less powerful when things don't work out the way we think it should, because God works it all out for his good. And we can't be selfish to say, God, that's not what I was planning. And he was like, I have the plans I know for you, plans to prosper you and give you hope in the future, not and no harm. If you'll follow me, I got you. Because God can and sometimes does give us our way just to show us that that's not the way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus lives in us. And when Jesus lives in you, your slate is clean. You're forgiven. You're free from condemnation. Any condemnation that comes on you is the enemy. And you need to rebuke him. He gives us new life and a new family, new relationship with God and Jesus. And when you do that, I love what Louis says in the book. He says, you can say this. He says, he will lead you to green pastures. This is what happens when you give your life to him. He will lead you to green and quiet pastures and waters. He will lead you, and you come up, please, I forgot. He will lead you through the dark valleys, but you never need to fear. You will not be in want, but Jesus will restore your soul. Jesus will lead you to a table in the presence of your enemies. But there's nothing to worry about, because your head is dripping with anointing and your cup overflows with abundance and the goodness and mercy and you are that are following you all the days of your life. Man, we've got to begin and really focus hard on having the mind of Christ. We've got to push the ways of this world out. We are just aliens here. We are in this world, not of this world. We're just passing through, as the old hymn says. This is not our final destination. And if we are condemning our own mind, how is anybody else going to get free? If we're allowing the enemy to run and control our mind, and we have an attitude, and we have bad thoughts and bad things, and we say we're a Christian, then why would a sinner want to get saved? Why would a sinner want to get saved? If we can't be broken free from the chains in our own lives as Christians, then how is that giving hope for the sinner? So we gotta do what we can. And when the enemy tries to come and tries to attack you and wants to sit down at the table, absolutely not. You cannot and never will have access to my table. I will not allow you, Satan, to sit at my table. That God has all these blessings spread for me. He made this table. It's his table. He sits there. This is my best friend. I'm sitting here with him. He has his whole table. And I know you're lurking behind me. You can walk around all you want to. But every time you walk around, you're going to see blessings upon blessings upon blessings on my life. Because I am only serving him. I serve at the pleasure of the king. And you can walk around and make all the noises you want. You will not distract me, because I have the mind of Christ. I'm going to sit right at this table and sup with my Heavenly Father, my best friend. He made this for me. There's blessings. And I'm not going to give you any of them. I'm not going to let you take them and steal them from me. Because all the enemy wants to do is have a little side conversation and get you distracted while he's talking. I'm talking to Jason. All of a sudden, he's grabbing this right here. He's just talking. Look right here, Jay. Look right here, Jason. He's just grabbing stuff off of your table. He's grabbing, says, look, Jason, stare at me in the face, man. I got you. And he's telling you all these wonderful things. And the whole time, he's just grabbing things off of that table, all the blessings, and stealing them from you. But God's like, no, they're yours. You don't have to give them up. God loves you. God cares about you. You are His. He is for you. And if you're being bombarded in your mind by the enemy, you can be free. You can have the mind of Christ. Now, that's not going to stop. The weapon's going to be formed. That's not going to stop the enemy from trying to come and claw at your mind. It's not going to stop the enemy from trying to come and take your stuff. But when he starts to grab it, you need to do like Grandma does. That's not yours. Grandma popped her hand, wouldn't she? You can't allow him to do that. You got to say, no, that's not yours. And that seat's not yours. And I refuse you and forbid you to sit at my table. Don't pull up. And a lot of us, not only, matter of fact, we have God and then us, and then we pull up a seat right here for him. We'll pull up a seat. Hey, why don't you sit down? We'll get right involved in that sin. We'll get right involved in that attitude. And we'll just pull up a seat and say, why don't you have a seat, Satan? And God's like, okay, when you're done, I'm out. I'm out. I'll be over here when you're done. Deuces, I'm out. I'm not going to deal with it. I'm out. But God loves you. He has so much prepared for you. He has so many blessings for you. If we'll just trust Him and keep doing what we can to renew our mind and renew our faith and keep loving and coming to church and reading the Bible and praying and serving and blessing the community and doing everything you can do, God is for you. Would you bow your head and close your mind? Close your mind. Close your mind to the enemy. I got the mind on my heart. Is there anybody today who will say, Pastor, like, I'm not a Christian. I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to be saved. I need to be saved. I want to become a Christian. The enemy is the only one at my table. It's me and Satan sitting there. And I would love for God to save me. Anybody want to receive Christ today? If you're online, you can say something. We'll reach out to you and send you a private message. Okay, who would say, Pastor, like, I'm a Christian? Man, but the enemy is pulling up chair after chair after chair, trying his very best to sit at my table. He's after me. He's in my mind. Well, not in my mind. He's coming at my mind. He's clawing at my mind. He's tormenting me. He's trying his very best to defeat me, to break me down, to make me feel like all that God's telling me is a lie when I know that that's the only truth is in God. But the enemy has some convincing stories, Pastor Doug. And sometimes I start to believe them, but I have to come back. I come to church. You remind me that it's all about God and God is good. He's got me. Who would be bold enough to raise their hand and say, hey, that's me. The devil keeps trying to come at my table and I'm not letting him. But sometimes I get close to pulling up a chair. Yes, 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 yes. Yes. Anybody else? Yes. Yes, yes. Everybody that's truthful will raise your hand. Because I know I can raise my hand. Sometimes I know back when I was a teenager, and keep your head bowed for a second, but I know when I was a teenager in church, they used to bring out the chairs, and they would have these little carts. They had like 14 chairs, 15 chairs on them, and they would roll them out, and we put them all out in the fellowship hall. That's what the devil does to me. He puts one chair down, I'll throw it away. He's got a whole cart full of chairs. I'm going to keep trying to sit at your table, and I just won't let him. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, I pray in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Christ, through the Holy Spirit, blessings on everybody in this room. Blessings in their mind. Satan, you're a liar, and we rebuke you from your tormenting spirits. You cannot torment the children of God any longer, because we are getting stronger and stronger in Christ. God is making our mind stronger, our spirit stronger, and you are being defeated more and more every day. And that spirit is trying to torment us, trying to make us feel less than, trying to make us feel like we don't belong, trying to make us feel like nobody cares, trying to make us feel like that we aren't anything, that we are useless, that we're a waste. But that's a lie from the devil. Because God, you said, I'm your masterpiece and you got plans for me. Show me the plans, Lord. Lead my steps. You said the steps of a good man and woman are ordered by the Lord. Order my steps, Lord. And I will walk in them every day of my life. Satan, you have no seat at the table of the people in this room and online. You have no seat at the table of Kingdom Impact. I will fight you to death over my people. that God has allowed me to shepherd. This is your church, God, but you allow me to shepherd them, and I will fight for every one of them, tooth and nail, against the enemy. I will stand between them and Satan and let them rest, and I'll fight on their behalf. Satan, you have lost and you will lose. You will fight in a losing battle against this church and against the people online. I rebuke you by the blood of Jesus, and the Lord rebuke you. In Jesus' name, God, thank you for freedom in our mind, peace in our mind. Thank you, Father, that we are having and becoming to have the mind of Christ more and more every day as we seek your face, as we read your word, as we worship you and come to church and we come together. We love you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Thank y'all so much for being here today. You're a big deal to me and a much bigger deal to God. Go fight the enemy today. Do not give him your mind. Do not allow him to have a seat at your table. Don't even let him have a high chair. He's a baby, but don't give him even a high chair, because kids in high chairs grow up. And if you say, I'll give you a high chair, he'll sit right there till he grows up and wants a big boy seat. Come on. Come on. That's a word from the Lord right there. All right. God bless you. I love y'all. Have a wonderful day. Talk to somebody. Get real relationships.